This week, we wonder how in the seven hells is Viserys still alive. We all agree that the new Joffrey has arrived. And he looks like Mike from Stranger Things with a blonde wig. Welcome to Bastards and Broken Things. Hello, hello, lovely listeners. I am your host, Sir Len, and this week I'm joined by a gaggle of the Fan Critical crew. First up, it's my boy, Bronze John. Hello.
I was hoping you'd say my boy, Emma, or something. That'd be quite
good. I'd have taken that, to be fair. Manliest of the whole group here.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's true. Yeah. Cheers, Len. How are you, mate?
I'm recovering, still recovering from my bout of the plague, but I'm getting there one day at a time. Yes. Thank you for asking. Also joined by Lady Baron. How's it going?
Yeah, been a bit stressed, but yeah, I'm fine. I'm ready to discuss the show. You slept through all that. Don't worry about it. It's not important. But yeah, I've got wine.
Okay, good, good.
I'm glad to hear you're feeling better. Good effort for waking up early again to do this.
No worries. Make sure, like Damon says, don't drink any of that gold piss. Get yourself some of that Dornish red.
Well, it's right? Like a sort of, I would say, more a Tyrrell rosé.
A Tyrrell rosé, yeah.
Do they make wine? They do now. I'm drinking it.
Well, they are gardeners, after all, around that area. Aren't
gardeners,
they?
Yeah.
Tyrrells and high towers and things.
Gardeners.
Gardeners wine.
Pulling up weeds. and that voice you hear is, of course, Lady Emma Arryn, who has returned from her nightly feed with little Gareth, and she's now
this
here
again.
With us.
He can't join us today. Fast asleep after his feed.
Yeah. Okay.
I apologise. I'm going to have to evict the cat because she's purring too excitedly, thinking about House of the Dragon. So just, there we go. Oh, it's nice to be back. I haven't been here for weeks.
Welcome back.
Thanks. I've come armed, not with a Tyrrell rosé, but a cup of nighttime tea.
Yeah.
Because it's late and I'm an old lady.
Milk of the poppy, lovely.
Yeah, more of that.
Indeed.
Buckets of milk of the poppy for you.
That's what I need.
Buckets of it. Now, you know, a lot can happen since the last time you've been on, Emma, but also in 10 years, a lot can happen. Mm. People change. Rivalries grow, friendships might blossom, and the ravages of age come for us all.
And that's just
with
the podcast.
That in mind, and that's just the podcast, yeah. How do we feel about episode 6 of House of the Dragon, the Princess and the Queen? A 10-year time jump. We've got new actors, we've got new characters, we've got dead characters, we've got new dragons, we've got old dragons, and of course, we've also got some new locations, which is a nice little surprise. How do we feel about this episode, guys? I need your blueberry score and your overall thoughts, and I'm going to throw it to Lady Emma Arryn first.
So I am caught up on all of the hot takes and the podcasts. I've been thoroughly enjoying both of them. And I just to clarify for everybody else, up until this
suck
point, I would have given
up.
Every episode a 4, as Len did. And I was excited for this episode because I thought, right, we've left it at a really interesting point. Now we're going to do a time jump. I knew it was happening. We're like over halfway through. Excellent. However, I feel this fell a little flat for me. And as much as the performances are great, most of them, I'm sort of half interested in a few things. I want to know what's happening, but it did not hit home like the other episodes had. And it didn't have the impact on me that the younger characters and the kind of drama that we had there did, which means, unfortunately, that I'm going to be giving episode 6 a 3 blueberry, which feels sad. And I know a 3 is still a decent score.
It's a good score.
But it's not what I it is. It's average.
It's slightly
above average,
good.
But it's average.
Yeah.
But it's not what I'd expect to be giving House of the Dragon. I mean, the highlight for me, I think, was Daemon. And
he's always the highlight.
Well, yeah. And actually, I have to say...
No, I disagree.
As you said, Joffrey V2, but not actual Joffrey, played by David Tennant's son, Ty Tennant. My favourite line of the episode was when he calls his little brother a twat, which I thought was excellent. And that's going to fall flat with the Americans. I don't think they have that word out there. But apart from
I think they
just,
do, but...
Twit.
I don't think
it's a bit of a rogue word.
Twat. I don't think it had enough impact for the first episode after the time jump. And I think that's the shame for me. Like, even though quite a lot happened, I don't think it felt impactful. I think it could have been bigger and better. So there you go. There's my, I was going to say my hot take. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to get rid of this cat. I apologise. Meg, can you fuck off?
A bit of animal cruelty caught on the pod.
Yeah. Someone call the RSPCA.
Literal brutality to felines.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
There you go. That's my hot take.
Thanks, Sam. I'm going to go next, actually. I'm not going to go last. I'm going to go next. I've fucked things around this week. And I just said, that's it. I'm going second. I think, to counteract you a little bit, Emma, that this is the best episode of the season, in my opinion.
Really?
I do. I think there's some excellent stuff in here. And I have to say, I was concerned. I said this in a hot take. I was concerned about the older actresses because I think the younger actresses have done a fantastic job. But I didn't even think about them once when I watched this episode because I think that the older incarnations of these characters feels like the complete natural progression of where we left the characters off. If you sort of, you know, see them in 10 years' time, I kind of buy it all and I have no issue with it at all. And I think the performances are very good. I really like Rhaenyra now.
and
I think there's some clear... Yeah, I thought she was fantastic. I thought she was really, really good. I think there's a lot that happens in this episode. I think it's quite action-packed in terms of, like, events. You know, we lose a lot of characters. I thought the music from Dawadi this episode took a step up from what it has been in earlier in the season. I think he's actually written some new themes. And it's interesting to see how the teams are forming, you know, the greens and the blacks. And I'm sorry, I don't know how anyone can support Alicent's team at the moment. They're full of fucking dickheads. That is a concern for me, that there's no... there's no sort of likable features about Alicent at all anymore. That's a bit of a concern. But, you know, she's gone full paranoid. I can kind of see that. I understand why that's happening. She feels isolated in the Red Keep. She feels isolated in court. So I get it. It's still not a 5 blueberry for me, this episode.
Definitely not.
It doesn't do enough for me. But there are moments in here where I can see... with some things coming up that I know from the books, if they handle it like they're handling it at the moment with the interpretations of some of these key events and giving us some really juicy, juicy information, I think there is a 5 in here now. So this episode may not be a 5, it's a 4 for me, but it has given me the opportunity to see that it is possible to have some stunning moments coming up. I think they will hammer one of these episodes home, and it looks like it's tracking to be probably episode 9 as usual, the penultimate one. So yeah, that's my thoughts on it. I'm gonna throw it to Lucy next.
Can I just post caveat my 3 by saying I didn't think the performances or the actors were terrible. It was just the episode itself, so I'd like to say they were excellent. Before anyone thinks I'm a total prick.
No one thinks you're a prick, Emma. You can say what you want. The only person here who thinks you're a prick is your cat, who you've abused several times.
She will not fuck off.
I think this episode's really hard to blueberry because I think it had some of the strongest scenes so far in the season, but there was also a lot that was very rushed and unearned to me personally. You say it's action-packed. It certainly was, but I almost think there was too much going on in one go. So there were characters that we had not really been properly introduced to, that we were kind of shown maybe sort of to get an attachment to, and then suddenly they're dead. And you're like, okay, am I supposed to really care? Because I didn't really know who they were before this. The new Rhaenyra was fantastic. I thought she brought a new dimension to the character, but I find it a little bit jarring how, so she's new, but for example, so Kristen's is the same actor, but now she looks old enough to be his mum. I didn't really see why Alicent needed to change it all. I don't think she looks that much older than the original Alicent. So that's I was like, I don't really see the difference. I suppose the acting was different and the characterization. I thought they were both very strong. It's difficult. Strong. I think, RIP. Again, Daemon's very underwhelming to me as a character. I'm not sure what they're doing with him. Mm. I don't understand anything about him, really. It's difficult. It is difficult. Watching it, I was enjoying it. It's only really when I look back at it, I just thought, gosh, they've crammed a lot in when not much has really happened up to this point. But I did think so much of it was really, really strong and quite Game of Thronesy. I'm going to err on the side of generosity and give it 4. But some of the scenes, particularly early on, I did think were really strong. And I think, you know, they have kind of sacrificed character development on the altar of plot again, but I'm going to give it 4. And I think what you say is right, Len, in that in some ways this was the strongest episode. And if they can kick on from this, and but then I know there's going to be another time jump, and I just think, it's just a lot going on.
I'm just trying to think about the kid's age, and it's
been in trouble for that before, haven't you?
How old?
But I do think that that in this one season, it's just a bit. And towards in the second half, it's the children are going to age years and years. It's quite rushed.
Yeah.
And it maybe makes me think they didn't trust themselves or the network to allow them to tell the story over maybe 2 seasons.
I think it's interesting because you're right, actually. What episode are we on? 6. We've got 4 more. So they're going to have the kids for a little bit longer, the princelings, I think. And
episode
then
8
there
is
will
the
be...
time jump. So we've got 1 more.
There. Okay, thanks, John. Thank you, John. Yeah, so that's another. So there will be a significant time jump because those princes do need to grow a bit older and obviously have their dragons. So it's going to be interesting. But good points, Lucy. That they are rushing a lot of stuff. They're trying to show you. I think this season's all about showing you how did we get to Civil War, you know, and it is a thing that doesn't happen over. Whereas Game of Thrones happens over like 2 years. It is a thing that takes place over decades because of decisions made at the Great Council in 101 AC, etc. But John, let me know your thoughts, please, on this latest episode. I'm interested. I'm interested to see where you fall down on this one.
I'm quite surprised at Lucy's score, to be honest, because a lot of what Lucy's saying is exactly the problem that I have with this entire season. And I mentioned it in our Lord of the Rings podcast. Well, I was talking about the importance, very good podcast. Go and listen to that. Stop listening to this, actually. So we talk about pacing in that. And there are some moments in this episode, and I suspect, Len, the reason why you enjoyed this episode is you're a book reader. So for someone that's... he is a nerd, but not because he reads books. I suspect you watch this episode and early on in this season where when they showed Harwin strong, you're like, oh, yeah, there's the strong boys. And obviously everyone else that watches it is like, who the fuck are they? What have they got to do with anything? And that's the problem we have. That's the problem that we have, that TV show viewers are going to watch this episode and there are moments in this episode where it's like, who's this guy? Who's this person? Why does she matter? She's dead.
I see that.
Mm-hmm. What's going on with the dragon? What's the relationship? Who is this one again? Oh, she's dead. Who cares? Like, there's no attachment to these characters. None.
Mm.
And it's gone too quick. Like, I get that they have to get to the actual story. But it's sacrificing like any kind of importance in any of these scenes, and I think I mentioned this.
But also, in fairness,
Cool.
You could have just sacked off the crab feeder and used that time to further develop some stuff.
Well, potentially. I mean, like, they obviously wanted to give Damon his moment in the sun to kind of paint him as this like badass
warrior,
massive warrior. I think I'm going to echo Lucy here. I don't get Damon's performance. I really don't. Like,
it's interesting.
And the problem I think here is, I mean, he's a bit of a dick at the beginning, and then it's like, well, actually, he is just a dick, isn't he? And then they've got this moment,
but not
where,
even in a cool way.
No,
he's not even like a good villain.
I tell you,
like,
he's aging extremely well versus his brother. I'll give him that. but it's like, I don't care about him. Like, why am I supposed to care about this family? Like. Bearing in mind, if we were watching this and it was just in one fell swoop, a 3-4-5 hour film, we've gone from he sees her at the wedding, a little bit of a chat, and you're like, oh, something could develop there. Next episode, they've got 3 kids or whatever it is, and they've been married for X amount of years. What the fuck do I care?
Yeah.
It kind of loses everything that's been built up.
Yeah, so it's kind of like... And Harwin Strong is a good example of this, where it's like, yeah, I was quite looking forward to seeing his character.
Yep.
Well, he's dead now, so it's like, well, who cares? It's almost getting like the Barristan Selmy treatment, where it's like, God, he's cool. I mean, but even in a much worse way. Oh, he's cool, isn't he? Oh, he's, what? Where's he been for all this time? Oh, he's dead. He's dead. Right, brilliant. And again, like, if you were a show watcher, I could get that there are certain characters like that. I've spoken to people that have watched the series and not read the books. And there are characters that we would love that people just don't identify with because they just don't see enough of them in the show. So for me, this episode, this is the problem with this show. And I'll give it a free bloob. When the episode ended, I was like, yeah, it was a good episode. But it encompasses all the problems that this has. Going from a show that was written, as you said, probably over 2 years or whatever, and you suffer through that for 7 seasons, and look, let's be honest here, Game of Thrones ended on a fucking whimper. But for those first 4 or 5 seasons, it was great. It was great. This already feels like it's bad. Like, it doesn't feel like a high caliber show to me. And look, that might be enough for certain individuals. And yeah, I get that season 2 and 3, if they do one, there will be moments where I'm like, oh, that's quite cool to see it happen on screen. But I'm not going to be like, wow, that was amazing. That needed to happen. I think it's a bit charmless, this show, I have to say.
Yeah. It's quite grim in a way that there's no levity or light relief or hope.
Well, yeah. I thanks, John. I think there's a lot of things in there to unpack, which we'll get through in the plot. I will say that I think this season is more so than any other season. Like, if they stick to their word, they're in, you know, this rushing will not be happening in future seasons. And this is like the prologue. Which is literally just hopping around, giving us all these instances. I do agree about the characters. Like, I really was looking forward to seeing Harwin. He seemed like such a cool character, and he's gone. And we didn't really have, you know, he's probably had a cumulative amount of about 2 minutes screen time. So I'm a bit disappointed about that. And I get it that you want to get attached to these characters. I think...
It's not even that I want to. It's that, like, if you're watching any sort of film, TV show, whatever, you're supposed to react to things like that happening. Like, I mean, I felt more gutted for the hand of the king, you know, like,
oh, poor Lionel.
Because he built a connection, right?
Yeah. But he's had a lot more time. His performance, pretty good, to be honest. Like, of the people in this series thus far that have had limited time, he is one of very few characters where I have, you know, full empathy for. He did a lot with what he was given, but
good character.
And the king as well, obviously. You know, Paddy.
Yeah, Paddy Considine's great.
Paddy's playing that so well, and I do genuinely think it is fucking ridiculous that he's a zombie now, and it's like.
Can I just make a point here?
Yeah.
Last episode, I said, why don't they just cut his arm off? And I wouldn't say I was ridiculed, but that was quite. There was a no-no that wouldn't happen. Mm. And what do we see?
Risky.
He has no. His arm's gone.
It
so
fell off.
You're right. All right.
I didn't even notice that.
Fell off, didn't it?
Yeah, no arm.
It's leprosy, isn't it?
They cut it off at my suggestion.
No, it fell off.
I don't remember that at all.
Maester Baron.
Listen back, and I said it.
This. Okie dokie. Well, let's crack on. We're going to have a quick advert break.
Are you suffering from leprosy? Cut your arm off.
Just cut it off. Genital herpes.
Go down to Maester Baron's leprosy store. We'll cut it right off for you.
Yeah, what ails you?
Oh, he's dead. Who cares? We only knew him for about 20
seconds. That's the advert.
Don't worry, lovely listeners. This isn't an advert to cure your leprosy. This is instead a little advert to say, please do subscribe and share the podcast. And you can also join us at the Patreon. At patreon.com/fancritical, where you can get access to some bonus content, but most importantly, just support the podcast with a little bit of financial aid. Yeah, give us some of those gold dragons.
Yeah,
yeah? Mm. We're making you, dear listener, the master of coin, if you will. So decide to give it to us, and that would be very lovely. That's patreon.com/fancritical. As the team have mentioned earlier, there is a Lord of the Rings review out at the moment. Lucy and John have done the first four episodes for you. They've gone and done the first four episodes for you, haven't they? And it's, good in that.
Completed it, mate.
It's really good in that. Completed it. So do go check that out. We will have a second podcast on Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power, at the end of the season, covering episodes 5 to 8. So mainly, just go subscribe, share, check out Lord of the Rings and patreon.com/fancritical to join the Patreon. Thank you very much. Now let's jump in to the plot.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
All right, guys, let's crack on. We've got a lot to cover because 10 years, yeah? So 10 years after the events of episode 5, bloody forgot where we were, Rhaenyra gives birth to her third child, whom Ser Laenor names Joffrey. But Alicent is keen to see the baby straight away, literally the moment little Joffrey is born. What do we think about this opening scene?
So of all the things that I've slagged this episode off for, this first like opening scene and opening scenes are fantastic. Emma D'Arcy plays Rhaenyra just beautifully, painfully, in this whole kind of afterbirth, struggling up the stairs. Alicent's amazing. And actually Paddy Considine is, when he meets his grandson, he's so utterly kind of oblivious to anything that's happening other than there being a small child in the room, you know, and the suffering and the discomfort and the fact that she's literally just had to give birth and then walk halfway through the castle with her newborn child. Not appropriate. I thought it was really powerful, and that's why I had really high hopes for the episode. So it was a great opening.
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
it's a good contrast to, obviously, her mother's birth scene. There's a lot of parallels towards that first episode scene in this episode. Why does Alison want to see the baby straight away?
Power play. A, is this one a Velaryon or is it not?
No, yeah, it's another strong.
Want to see it straight away. I found this I had a very visceral reaction to it. I don't know, probably because I have a baby of my own. But yeah, the idea of having to sort of walk through the palace, seeing people, there's all the people sort of gathered in the hall and she has to sort of go past them. It's all, yeah, it was quite a brutal, visceral scene. But she did a fantastic job. Alison, yeah, she's not even good villain, again. She's not like Cersei, like queen bitch.
No, she's just mean.
Your motivations make no sense. You're a dweeb. No, I think she's dweeby.
Well, hold on. Her motivations do make sense.
Her motivations for her children do, but her sort of
but that's all
anger
she is now.
And Rhaenyra. And,
yeah, but
has never really made sense to me.
But okay, but this is the problem, isn't it? This is the game of Thrones, isn't it? No, it isn't.
Name of the show
where it's, you know, she's protective of her family, and unfortunately, with the way in which this whole thing works, she's entitled to be slightly worried that her kids are at risk.
Oh, I get that, and she knows like what could happen to them, but I just think her fixation before.
No, but remember that thing that happened 6 years before this. No, you don't, because we never saw it. Yeah.
Yeah. I just think she's yeah. And nobody likes her, obviously, so it's quite clear.
It's an interesting contrast because I felt like younger Alison was more mature than older Alison, who's behaving like a 15-year-old snipey teenager. And actually, it doesn't even feel vindictive or like there's anything behind it. It just feels petty. I think she plays it beautifully and you can kind of, she's almost like slightly unhinged in the way that she just, all she can think about is...
And bored.
Driving.
She strikes me as very bored and just
miserable.
Like, I've got nothing else to do.
Yeah.
But fret.
I will
but
say.
But again, you know.
I mean, this is now book Alison, though. You know,
exactly.
This was
right.
The issue that quite a lot of people had, or book readers had earlier in the season, where it was like, it felt like Otto was driving the whole thing. Whereas actually, Alison, at least in the books or the interpretation in the books, has always been quite power grabby, aspirational.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And I think that's
right.
That goes back to what you just said, John, though, is that we've not seen the last 10 years. And although I understand the point of doing that, it does, you lose something in it because you lose a whole 10 years of rivalry and relationships and background. So, you know, for me, I'm not yet at current events in the book. Smart money, Lucy was correct. Yes, I have started reading Fire and Blood.
Ding, ding.
Ding, 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 ding. But you do, you lose the impact of it because you don't understand what's happening. There's no context. Like, so with Strong, for example, like you said, it gets 2 minutes. Sorry, I'm jumping forward in length structure. But getting a couple of minutes of screen time with no... It takes a minute to get the connection. And it would have been better if we didn't have to do that.
Mm. Well, Joffrey, of course, is an interesting name for the baby. Of course, named after Joffrey Lonmouth, the Knight of Kisses, or whatever he's called, who was obviously had his head caved in at the wedding previous episode. So Laenor naming it after his ex-lover, which is a very interesting choice, a bit of a risky one in my
opinion. It's also actually, if you think about it, like I'm not saying that if your lover was murdered 10 years ago you'd forget about it, but the fact that he's immediately like, yeah, Joffrey, it's like, that did happen 10 years ago and that's the first thing you thought.
Get
about.
Over it.
Yeah. Well, get not over it, mate. But you'd think that it would have sort of, time would have lessened the kind of pain and the memory of him. It's because we've just seen it. He's like, yeah, Joffrey. And we're all like, oh, yeah, of course. It's like, well, that was 10 years ago.
I think
ago.
We should probably invite listeners, anyone that's gone through some horrific grief in the last 10 years. If you want to write in and just tell us if you've gotten over it, because Lucy definitely thinks you should have done by now.
No, I'm not saying that at all. It's just the fact that he immediately went to Joffrey.
Yeah, more than 10 years ago. No, I agree.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, Queen Alicent notes that Joffrey's hair Like his brother Jakaris and brothers Jakaris and Lucaris, is brown rather than Targaryen silver. She presses Viserys to declare them bastards with no succession rights, which he obviously rejects. The strong boys. Mm. I think it's safe to say that the episode pretty much confirms throughout the course of the episode that these are Sir Harwin Strong's children.
Handsome little
it's
lads.
It's rumoured in the books or whatever, but, you know.
They are sweet little boys.
It's almost certain in the books, but it's certain here. They do seem very sweet, don't they?
Little mops of hair. Oh, better than the other freaks that they have to play with.
Whoa, uncles.
Jesus.
Hey, come on.
Whoa. Can't call kids that.
Yeah. Everything.
Hey.
Hey. Ty Tennant's at least like 18. He's an adult. You can call him a freak. He doesn't look like that in real life.
He likes to jerk off out windows, but we'll get to that later, won't we?
We'll get to that in a bit.
Yeah. Alicent then confides in Sir Crispy Cole, at how frustrated she is that no one admits that these kids are bastards. Crispy then proceeds to sort of have a little rant about Rhaenyra, calls her the C word, and
he calls her what?
Then goes, "That was beneath me, your C word, mate. That was beneath me, your grace.
Then
I'm sorry."
He calls her a spoiled cunt, is what he says.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, thanks, John.
And again, that was 10 years ago. Why is he still so hung up on it?
Yeah, isn't it?
Why is he still there?
Why are you so obsessed with me?
Just like, fuck off.
He's had a fall from grace, bloody, isn't he?
Get over it.
But. You murdered someone. You've been pardoned. Do you want to just like move on with your life?
And also, even if you've been pardoned, why is he still in the service of the Queen 10 years later? Surely, I mean, he is of no use now.
No.
What use is he?
I'm sure that he has some uses.
Yeah.
He's had a haircut. I like the hair, guys. I did say hair's better.
Yeah.
But he's a little prick and a little creep, so I hate him now.
I will say that Criston Cole, you know, we talked about this in the books last week, where it just goes. He goes from like Rhaenyra's confidant, and like they're always seen together, to literally like he despises her. And it, obviously, we've got this amazing, I think, revelations of what happened in the show, and you know the interpretations of what happened. And he is an extremely, extremely bitter individual, and. It's annoying because he was a cool character to sort of follow in his early years, but 10 years has made him horrible. And I can tell you something, it's not going to get any better, guy. It's not going to get any better.
Stop spoiling it.
He is just a dickhead now. So get used to that. But I thought it was very Mean Girls, how they were like bitching about him and stuff. I was like, bitching about Rhaenyra. I was like, so weird. Ha ha. How? You know, anyway.
Don't try and question it. I see you reaching.
I was trying to think of a Mean Girl. Yeah, I was reaching for a Mean Girls quote, and I'm going to put that one back in the locker. Yeah, I'll save that for a different.
Save
podcast.
It for the Five Bleed episode.
I did one. Why are you so obsessed with me? That's from.
I know. Mean Girls. You could put it off. Yeah. You could put it off. You
like
see,
you're in love with me,
like Aegon.
There you go.
Right. You can pull it off like Aegon. No, we'll get on to that in a bit, all right?
Yeah, we'll get on to that. Oh, yeah. We'll get off to that in a minute. What? No, sorry, what?
Speak for yourself, Len. I won't be.
All right, fussy.
Dear. Okay. Yeah, Jesus. Unbelievable. all right, we see the young princes in the dragon pit, as we see Jace, which is Jakaris. We're going to be shortening Jakaris to now. He's Jace.
Jace.
As he tries to calm. Yeah, that's what he's called in the book, Jace. Jace is his...
They do call him that in Jace, the show. They say Jace.
Jace is his nickname. It's his, like, shortened name. Tries to claim his dragon, Vermax, which is quite cool. I quite like seeing the little young dragon.
He's a bit scary.
And then...
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
Being littler is a bit more like, oh,
tense.
Ooh,
yeah. Bit like a velociraptor.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite fun. And then Aemond, Alicent's second son, gets bullied with the pink dread.
That's quite funny.
A little piggy. That walks out, little piggy walks out.
We've got your dragon, look. He's a sort of pig, to be honest. He is a pig. We're winding up, aren't we? Yeah.
It's very mean.
Jakaris.
I was really excited for a dragon.
Fucking hell.
I was really, yeah.
Is it Viserys or is it Alicent? It's like, why would you think that they would have found a dragon, like, just in the wild for you?
Knocking about in Flea Bottom.
He's only a kid. Like, no sympathy there. Why did you believe it?
Who wants a bacon? Anyone?
That poor kid.
That's just hijinks, though, isn't it? It's not that bad, is it? Or am I just mean?
No, it's hijinks.
Prank. It's a prank.
I think this is quite interesting because this is showing that the kids, like the strong boys and the you know, Alison's kids, actually don't really dislike each other at this point. They're sort of working together on this prank, and they're sort of, Eamond is actually the one who's getting bullied, which is, you know, Alison's second son. So it's trying to show you that, that at this point, you know,
boys will be boys.
It's no. Alison who's trying to, yeah, boys will be boys, and it's Alison who's trying to drive a wedge in them, which is interesting. I also think it's interesting to note that here that, you know, as much as people say the strong boys are bastards, they've had two dragons hatch out of eggs when they were born. So that's a huge thing. Like, if the egg doesn't hatch and they're not bound from birth, it's actually a little bit frowned upon. You'll actually see Daemon later in the episode sort of be a bit weird to one of his daughters and not to the other, the one who hasn't got a dragon yet.
He fancies one and not the other.
Probably.
Oh,
that's a weird take. But yeah, could
it's
be
the style at the
Daemon.
Time, isn't it, with him?
So the fact they've had a dragon hatch, two dragons hatch, Jason Luke's, I believe, hatch, and Joffrey's just been given one. So it's a little bit of an annoyance for Alicent, because she's like, yeah, if there were no eggs that hatch, they'd be like, wow, that's huge. So that's quite interesting.
But their mother is a Targaryen, so that's not
as she says,
doubt, is it?
Later in the episode, you're Targaryens. That's
probably someone
matters.
Went in there and just thought, just hitting it, just cracked it open.
Hello, anyone in there? Yeah.
These are yours, yeah? You have to hang around with these boys now.
Yeah, for fuck's sake. So Alicent scolds Aegon for pranking his brother Aemond, and then says he must prepare himself to fight for the throne. But obviously, this is the way she does this is by yanking him from a window after he's jerking off over the bells.
He's having a wank.
Jerk
this is
up.
A British podcast. He's having a wank out the window.
He's having a wank.
Yeah. Why is he doing that?
Yeah.
Power. And he's a teenager. If you lived in a castle and you could wank off over all the poor people because you were going to die one day, wouldn't you do
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, just thinking about
I would.
That,
John definitely would. John definitely would. The sea air really, you know, gets me going. So just, you know, get that fresh air. I'm joking.
It definitely does. Okay, yeah. Captain Birdseye gone wrong. Never having those fish fingers
Captain
again.
Birdseye.
Fucking hell.
Oh,
oh, come on.
Disgusting.
Isn't it? Come on.
Crass. But,
me? Fucking hell, you brought sea air up. Anyway.
You're jerking off over fucking... You're wanking off over the poor people, mate. Unbelievable.
Yes. Power. What is that scene? What is the... I mean, do they have to...
It's meant to show, it's shorthand, that he's a bit of a deviant. So they don't have to develop his character. They say, look, he did this. He's obviously a bit of a freak. There you go. He'll be a different actor next time. Don't get too attached. Don't care. Nepotism again. Brilliant. Another actor's child.
Well, David Tennant's not in it. Imagine that. Who's
he's
David
the child
Tennant
of two actors.
In this?
Yeah. He plays
that,
the older
doesn't
Aegon.
Make it better.
Pig Dread.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
Okay,
really bizarre.
It's interesting that Alicent fully believes now that Rhaenyra is just going to kill her children, which I can understand from a sort of medieval, that's maybe the way that things would go sort of standpoint. But Rhaenyra really, we've seen her character, there's no inkling of that at all, that she would do that.
10 years of whispers, though, isn't it?
Yeah, whispers.
I think it's what Alicent would do in that situation. So she's putting that on Rhaenyra when actually... The fact that she called Rhaenyra up, like, when she was a few seconds postpartum, she is cruel, whereas I don't think we've ever seen any sort of real cruelty to Rhaenyra. Not deliberate malice, anyway. Mm. She might have been cruel. You could say she was cruel to Kristen in a way by not wanting to run off and marry him, but I don't think she has that cruelty in her.
Well, I mean...
It wasn't intentional with Crispy, though.
No, she didn't want to...
She's been
him.
Extremely reckless, though. Like...
But that's not the same thing.
I think it's quite dangerous, like in her position. So she was going to bang her uncle in some brothel.
But who's that being cruel towards? That's not. She's not showing any malice in doing that. She's just trying to do what she wants.
But it is.
She doesn't want to be constrained.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
it's ignorance more than anything. I think.
Hold that energy in the next few episodes, and we'll see.
Stop spoiling. I'm saying she hasn't done anything yet.
No,
people are going to die.
She's your
from
hero
the
princess.
Bloody hot take.
We'll see, won't we? We'll see.
All right. Let's move on. Damon and his new wife, Lena. Valarian.
She's going to be good.
Riding Bloodworm and Vega. Yeah, she's going to be great.
I thought she was
Essos. And they visit Essos with their daughters Bela and Rhaena, where the Prince of Pentos offers them a lordship in exchange for an alliance against the Triarchy, who are back in the Stepstones. That's interesting that they're back. I've written here, it's cool to be in Pentos again. Been a while. Obviously, Pentos has a huge significance for Game of Thrones. It's where Illyrio houses Dany and Viserys III before, you know, basically the start of Game of Thrones. And Illyrio is a mastermind with Viserys with putting a Targaryen back on the throne. So it's quite cool to be back in Pentos.
I kind of just wanted this scene to hurry up, to be honest.
Did you?
Yeah.
What did you think about Lena claiming Vhagar, John?
I mean, what do you mean? Like,
well, why didn't we see it? Like, you've got the
there's no time.
The most legendary.
This is it.
It's fucking called. It's called the House of Dragons. you've got the most legendary dragon that's left alive, Vhagar.
Okay, but you know that. That moment is going to be reserved for someone else. They'll make it a bigger deal.
Of course. Of course.
Because otherwise it's like you've got fucking people just claiming dragons every fucking 5 minutes. You know, oh, I mean, this moment
yeah,
doesn't
there are
anything.
A few that get claims.
How to claim your dragon.
Very good, Lucy. Very good.
Very good. Seen that Disney thing, How to Claim Your Dragon?
It's cool because Lena, when she was younger... you know, when she was that really awkward, disgusting scene where Viserys is like talking to her to see if she's going to be his wife.
Mother says I won't have to bed you till I'm 14.
Yeah, exactly. She was asking loads of questions about Vhagar. So it's interesting that her fascination with Vhagar is, you know, and claimed
but
her.
Again, so
Vhagar is a girl, dragon.
When we spoke about that scene and we were like, well, clearly, out of nowhere, this chat that means nothing to the chat they were having. So, have you heard about this dragon
right.
that everyone's saying to miss him for a while and they it's singing these sad songs and that? Yeah. Okay, well, then that's going to be important. But it isn't. It isn't, because you never see it.
But like you said, John, we might see something with Vhagar later on, so that's a very good point. I've got a quick question here. Is Daemon fucking fireproof? What's going on with this fireproofing shit? Which Targaryens are fireproof at the moment? Because... there's a moment where there's like a fucking Vhagar's like done an atom bomb in the sky of fire, and Daemon's just like, yeah, I'll just fly through that. I thought it was very interesting. I thought it was weird. I thought it was weird.
I didn't read into it that
probably,
way, but why not? I mean, seen it before, haven't we?
It probably means
yeah, but
nothing.
It's only
and they've just it's just an oversight, but we're reading into it because we like to do that.
It must mean something. Or
but
why
it's
would
only
they
a
show it?
Creation that. That Targaryens are fireproof, because in the book Dany has survived miraculously in the fire, and Georgie makes a point of saying it's not a usual thing. Whereas it kind of feels like they've like Game of Thrones made it a thing now, and not the books. And now it's like, you know, we've seen Viserys like grabbing a dagger; it's red hot. It's like not burning him. He's putting his hand over candles and shit. I'm like,
yeah, but then his arm
they're not
fell
fucking
off,
fireproof,
so...
guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Burn marks.
Because they can't be fireproof, because that's a bit of a problem for the upcoming little war that we're having. Do you know what I mean?
Well, maybe so,
don't know, is
not,
it?
Just like they're not all dragon riders. Maybe they're not all fireproof.
Season 17. Like, fucking hell, is anyone going to die in this?
But they're not fucking fireproof. None of them other than Danny are, and she's not even technically fireproof.
It was just so one time.
Oh, and the Night King.
It's one time thing.
No, twice.
Fire can't kill a dragon. Oh, yeah, so I guess some of them are just have got it and some of them don't.
Yeah. Really dragon-y.
Interesting. Just thought it was interesting. All right, let's move on to what I thought was actually another traumatizing type of scene, which is the agonizing labor scene of Lena.
Another one.
Who is.
Are we going to stop seeing labor scenes?
Never.
No, because there's more kids coming, I think. She's unable to give birth, and the maester type doctor over on Essos, I don't think they have maesters, they're just doctors, says, you know, we could do the same operation. This is a very good like parallel to what Viserys' decision was. I actually felt Daemon said not to do it. I actually watched it back, and he sort of says no.
Yeah, he does say no.
Which I think humanizing moment for Daemon. You know, interesting character. and then
he doesn't even really say
Lena
anything.
Decides,
this is the problem. Like, I
he looks upset. He looks a bit upset.
He's
like, again, it's like this is unpleasant.
Yeah.
He's socially and emotionally inept. That's what it is.
No.
And that's why he behaves the way he behaves.
He just, I'm not sure he's doing anything. Like, I know there's a bit of a, you know, I know I'm in the minority here when it comes to Matt Smith's performance, but I don't know. He just doesn't seem to be doing much.
No. I'm in that minority also. It's quite a blank character. Very nothingy in my mind. I think people that have read the books are probably like, oh yeah, he's cool because of the character in the book, but I'm not getting really much at all.
Can I use another parallel here? And this might be slightly unfair, but I mean, Jaime Lannister is an absolute bellend in season 1. And then you contrast it with the speech that he has with Brienne in the bath, where he's talking about burn them all, and he's just broken as an individual. And it's like, yeah, so this is actual, like, the difference between just playing up to being this character that everyone hates to the real person and what actually happened. And obviously, that's like probably 6 or 7 months worth of story over 3 or 4. So I think it was the third season that was. But this is the difference. We've got 10 years of Daemon, and it's like, I don't even know who this guy is, really. Like,
yeah, I think that element of I don't know who he is. He doesn't know who he is. He is a very
well, that's going to be a problem for the viewer.
You know this. That is going to be a problem because he is so up and down, and he's such a fucking. He does things where you're like, I really hate what you've just done there, and then he does things where you're like, okay, I kind of like.
Held
what
the door open
there.
For someone,
and he's
it was all right.
What a hero. Yeah. I do feel the fandom has this sort of candle for Daemon. You know, they're always like, I'll like him no matter what he does.
Definitely.
Which is quite interesting. What do you reckon about the scene with Lena and Vhagar? I thought with the music, and even though we didn't have much attachment to Lena, because we've actually had 3 different actresses playing her now, I thought that was quite a powerful scene.
I thought it was quite cheap and unearned. This is what I mean. I think having a woman die an agonizing death who's been in childbirth, it was borderline, I think it was quite tacky and a bit nasty, actually, because this is a character that we don't know really at all. We've had her in it for about maybe 15 minutes screen time, and then just to use her as a sort of trope of another agonizing female death, I didn't really like it at all.
Could have been worse, Lucy, if you followed the books. It
but
would have been worse.
I haven't read the books, and it shouldn't be relevant at all to this scene.
Yeah.
It was offensive almost, I think, because it was trying to garner emotion, which was completely unearned, and it was all rushed.
I get that. And yet you've given it 4 bloobs, Lucy. That's why I was very surprised at that score.
Yeah. Maybe I can retrospectively remove my 4 blueberries like did last time. John did it.
Retrospective.
Yeah, John did it.
I'll do it at the end once I've remembered everything that happens.
He tried.
I think it's...
I actually thought this was powerful. I thought this was powerful. Sorry, Em. I have to say, like, we want to see... criticise the show for, you know, the way it handled the first childbirth scene, right? And this time they've given the character a bit of ownership and a bit of something that actually isn't in the books. They've given the character a decision, right? Her decision, right? And I think we have seen a bit bits and pieces of her to actually have a bit of a connection to her. She seems like a decent character, right? And I will say we've had a go at the show going, oh, we don't get any emotion from the dragons or something. This was a good scene.
I've never said that. The dragons actually I don't care if they have emotions. Having... They're reptiles.
Yeah.
Cold-blooded.
Well, no, they're not stupid. They're not just reptiles. They're supposed to be extremely intelligent.
I didn't say they were stupid. So yeah, they weren't emotional.
Yeah, so what I think what Len is alluding to is, it might even have been after episode one, where I think Gaz was talking about like not really getting this, like the dragons having different personalities.
Yeah, the connections.
That's right.
Which is right. True. Em, yeah, I'm interested to hear, because obviously we've got two book readers here, and yet Len is correct. This did not happen in the books, and we could probably cover what happens in the books afterwards, right?
Oh yeah, she just dies. She has a stillborn baby. And then she says, oh, I want to try and ride Vhagar one more time. And she makes her way to this like staircase and she just dies. She's
okay, fine. I mean, it's better than dragon. That. But anyway, go on, Em. So what were your thoughts?
Like well, actually, I'm gonna partially agree with Len that I did actually think it gave her a bit of ownership and a bit of autonomy where it could have gone. I think having it. The tragedy of having a stillborn child and then just collapsing and dying on stairs. I mean, that's just too much tragedy for this show. I think that there is a lot of, and yes, okay, it happened a lot in this sort of time that women will die in childbirth and, you know, choices are made as they were with Lady Emma, Queen Emma, and many, many other women, not just in medieval times, but today. Just bring that up. However, and I think I thought it was a shame because, quite frankly, I got quite into Lane in this episode. I was like, I want to get to know her. She seems really cool. Like, I really want to see more of her. You know, she's
it would have hit harder had we seen more of her. Of course,
yeah.
I'm not against the actual idea of it, and I think the kind of the confusion of the dragon. I can see why that would be moving, but it's just I don't know who this woman is. Why are you giving her this horrible death?
If that had happened in episode 8 and we'd had 2 episodes of her, I think I'd have felt differently. So I was a bit conflicted about it. And that's part of the reason why I gave this a 3 blue, is because a lot of it I thought could have been really powerful, but fell flat.
Mm. In the hot take that you and Gaz did, was saying that he didn't connect the dots in terms of what was actually going on. So I think Gaz was saying like, you know, why would she
not save the baby?
Yeah, yeah. And then you were saying that, I mean, the baby was already dead. I think in the books, book she gives birth to like a monstrous baby, like, yeah, think. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess pretty similar to Daenerys in season 1, right?
Yeah. And it's, I think the show just couldn't. I think they had to give a moment to a female character here in this situation. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
because
Because
it's got to the point where...
I don't disagree. Yeah. I just wonder whether or not there would be more people that would watch that scene and be like, is she still trying to give birth here? Like, what is going on?
Yeah.
Well, Aaron thought she was going to get the dragon to kind of like burn the baby out. So yeah, I don't think it was massively.
To be honest, Aaron. We need him on the podcast because some of the things he's coming out with recently, he was going to. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. So Vhagar was going to burn the baby out of her.
Yeah. But he did say, "Oh, but
he's a sweet summer child, isn't he?"
They can't die of fire, can they?
He's a sweet summer boy.
So he's on that line of like, they can't
die
of fire.
She's not a Targaryen.
She's not, but she's of that bloodline.
Honestly, the medical procedures that go on in your household are incredible.
We'll get him on.
Just burn the leprosy off.
Unbelievable.
Cut his head off as well and his arm. So obviously in the books, it's more of a, you know, her bond with Vhagar is that she wants to fly one more time. You know, she wants to be empowered one more time because, you know, she's dead, basically. Or she's dying.
I actually thought she was going to fly. When she went out there, I thought she was going to fly home because she said, I want to have this baby, you know, where I had my other children, where I was born.
Some of these theories. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, she's going to go like, no, and ask Vhagar his opinion on whether or not there are better doctors in the area. He's like, look, I'm just a stupid reptile. You know, I don't know what's
Never
going
said
on,
stupid.
To be honest.
I said emotionless.
Yeah, you know, I've got no personality, apparently, so don't be asking me because I'm in a mood. Dragon, why are you saying
dragon
that?
With no personality.
This is quite a touching moment. I think it would have been weird in the TV show if she tried to get to Vhagar, couldn't, and then Daemon just picks her up, takes her back to the bedroom, and then just watches over her as she dies. That would have no impact, given that we've spent no time with this actress, let alone the character. So I thought it was quite a cool scene to watch. Is it a bit cheap that Dragon was a bit like, oh, you know, I don't want to really? So it's a bit rubbish, isn't it?
We've seen Drogon act that way.
No, but we spent 7 seasons with Drogon, so.
I know. Well, we did sort of. I mean, he really came into it when they were a little bit older. Anyway, you know what I mean? Like with their emotions.
There was a different actor that played Drogon in the later seasons.
Time jump.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like as a spectacle, it was quite cool to watch. I don't think Matt Smith was very happy because they were like, no, you've got to like act like shocked, haven't you? And he just sort of ran out there and just...
Okay, well, let's move back to King's Landing, where to make peace, Rhaenyra proposes that her son Jace marry Princess Helena, Alicent's daughter. I thought this was a smart move. Makes perfect sense. Why wouldn't you just accept this and then everything's
sorted.
Golden. I love how Viserys is like, this is amazing. This is the best thing of all time.
He's just like, this is the best idea I've ever heard. Like, just completely out there.
And we will say that John's right. He does look like a zombie in this episode. He looks, I said it in the hot take, he looks like Bilbo when he's lost the ring. Like, you know what I mean? He's just fucking... Just, you know that bit where he like lunges at Frodo in Rivendell? Yeah. Sorry, boy, sorry. He looks like that, genuinely. Terrifying. I thought Helena's quite an interesting character. We see a little bit of a chat with her her mother earlier on. She's a dreamer. She's a dragon dreamer.
Compos Mentis?
She's a dreamer, Lucy. Well, that's the correct term for the Targaryen.
Why is she playing with what are those things? Millipede, centipede.
I think it's a millipede.
Rancid.
It looks huge.
Horrible.
Massive bug.
Millipede.
Massive
bug. Unbelievable. Too massive bug.
But some of...
Massive fucking bug.
That's horrible.
Some of the things she says are going to come true. So that was very interesting. Some of these throwaway lines.
Spoiler
really just...
warnings, though,
I wasn't listening to her, though. I was just thinking...
No, well,
I
Lucy
wasn't...
doesn't listen to anything, so she look,
I was
she,
thinking
she
about
doesn't
the bug.
Listen to...
Think how gross
bug.
It
That's
was.
Lucy's like, how many legs that bug got?
Well, you should see the size of the bug that she ends up claiming. It's amazing, honestly.
Big bug.
Giant
big
bugs.
Yeah. Bug of the sea.
Yeah, it's like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Oh, a massive ant.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Auntie the ant.
Auntie dragon.
I mean, that Alicent couldn't be the, you know, man enough to take up the sensible offer of peace because she's such a bitter old wench, isn't it?
Or woman enough, Emma, yeah?
Oh. Yeah. Come on,
Emma. She doesn't deserve to be woman enough.
Yes.
Petty old cow.
There you go. Turned it around. Is it a little bit annoying, Len, that it's very one-sided at the moment? It's like...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The greens just look like proper bell ends. You know, there's...
It's a big problem. And I've actually written it here, John, in my notes. I've put... There is... Especially with what happens with Larys later on. It's just horrible, that side. Like, it's weird how we've gone from... Episode 5, where Alicent was actually a bit more sympathetic than Rhaenyra, in my opinion. Rhaenyra was doing reckless things. She was acting like a brat. She was, you know, not really thinking about her actions. And now we've got, it feels like Alison has just grown into this not very likable at all. I don't see any redeeming features in her performance at the moment. I'm sure that could change. Crispy's obviously a massive dickhead.
Kristen, tosser. Aegon, literal tosser out of a window. Like it's,
literal tosser, yeah. And Aemon at the moment seems sweet, but, you know, he's not the nicest in the book. So it's an interesting... I think the show has a big problem that it needs to sort out, which it has to give Alison some form of likability back, because otherwise everyone's just going to be like, kill them all, kill all the greens, kill them now, yeah. You know, Team Rhaenyra. And that is a problem, because even though Cersei, and you disliked Cersei, right, you understood her better, right? And there were moments in there where you could sympathise with her, which is mad. I know it was 6 or 7 seasons until we get to that point or whatever, but there are moments in there where that happens. So hopefully they can develop her better and give her some more likeable characters on her side of the divide. but let's crack on, because we've got a big divide that happens in the yard where the new dickhead version of Crispy clearly favours all of Alicent's kids, and Harwin, Sir Harwin Strong, takes offence to this.
Very Karate Kid, isn't it?
Cult. Yeah.
Sweep the leg.
It is.
What are you doing?
Yeah. Sweep the leg, mate. No mercy. No mercy. Cobra Kai. Cobra Kai. Great show. Go watch Cobra Kai now. Bloody love it. But, you know, and then Harwin beats the shit out of Criston Cole after he sort of goads him into sort of trying to say, oh, who, are these your kids? They don't look anything like them. So this was a great scene, because I also liked the fact that Viserys is in the going, look, Lionel, look how lovely the boys are. They're getting on so well. I'm so happy. Fucking, he's oblivious, that man.
Well, I mean, and that's the, I mean, that's the theme, isn't it? He's just so, his want for everything to work out as it should, it's just not realistic. And his naivety is really starting to shine now. What can you do, eh? What can you do?
I've said this before. He's a nice guy, and unfortunately that has made for a bad king, because he's the most protected sort of character that we've seen in this. He's kind of like Tommen, sweet Tommen. He was a nice kid, but like if Tommen had grown up and no bad influences, it was just, yeah, Tommen. And was just nice. You know, it's just not going to work. You need to have a bit of a ruthless edge to you. You need to make the tough decisions. And unfortunately, by him trying to appease everybody, he is literally, you just literally overlooking the biggest problem that the realm has seen in like hundreds of years. And he's looking at it, seeing there's no problem, you know, but there's a huge problem. Everyone, like Lionel's sat there just going, oh my God, we are fucked.
And he's now lost his sort of most honest counsel in Lionel. So who is actually looking out for the interests of the realm now? I don't know.
Well, who will it be?
Don't tell me, Len. I don't want to know. Yeah. But, you know, sure. Just as a hypothetical question.
Len's got like his top 10 guesses bit, and he's just going to tell you everything that happens.
Number one. So Lionel Strong offers his resignation as Hand of the King. Because of what Harwin did in the yard. Viserys refuses, but allows him to take him back to Harrenhal so that he can go there, and then Harwin can be Lord Paramount over Harrenhal. Harwin has an emotional farewell to Rhaenyra and her children, which implies that he is their father. I thought that was quite a sweet scene, and I want to see more of Harwin.
Yeah, I'm well up for seeing
no chance, mate.
What a handsome baby daddy, good role model.
Yeah.
Great hair.
Yeah.
Great hair.
Very honourable.
Break bones.
Do we... I mean, you could be... I suppose you know from the book, maybe, because it wasn't clear from the show. Was she just kind of, you know, I need heirs, I'm not going to get them from my husband, you're up, or was they actually in love?
Well, you don't know, because the book doesn't tell you anything, really. It's like facts. It's like Rhaenyra had children. People noted that they didn't look like Laenor, and they all had a strong resemblance to Harwin Strong. And then there's just, you know, incidents of people calling them out and stuff. So you don't really know which is why this show is good from a book reader's perspective, because it's giving us all these colourful interpretations.
But I feel
of
like
these
I still don't
events.
Know whether they were actually, well, she actually loved him or not.
I felt like they had a connection, like an emotional connection. It didn't just feel like, you know, sexy time baby making.
But was that his paramour?
It did seem like a connection.
I don't know.
Did seem like a connection.
Yeah.
Like that goodbye he gives where he strokes her arm. And I know he can't do anything overt, obviously, but she looks at him and she looks a bit sad. You know, she looks very sad. And
I think if he'd have grabbed her ass, it's like, these guys are taking the piss,
fucking
to be honest, honestly.
But also, I mean, think about it this way. They've clearly been at it for 10 years, Neron. So that can't just be about...
It might just be to provide heirs so people don't ask questions. I mean, there's no reason why she wouldn't want to have sex with him, you know, handsome man, but I just didn't know, because with Crispin,
all about that, isn't it?
You know that,
yeah, you felt
they've
it.
Got a they've got an emotional connection, but with this, he's introduced. It's not, you can read between the lines and see that yes, he is the father, and then he's dead, and it's like, okay, so we're never going to know about that then. Cool.
Fair point, Liz.
Fair point. I hope there was a little relationship there, because I really like Harwin. Alison then confides in Laris Strong.
Big mistake, Alison.
Yeah, or Sasquatch, huge. As we've called him, yeah, in this Bigfoot. Podcast. Bigfoot. She wishes that her father was still Hand of the King. Then out of nowhere at Harrenhal, Sir Lionel and Harwin die in a fire, which apparently has been orchestrated by their family member, Laris.
Son and brother.
Wow.
No?
Correct.
Escalated quick, didn't it? He's a good villain. He's a good. Yeah. It's a good performance, and it's just.
It's a good performance.
It's a good performance. Equally good. is he going to be like the first spider?
Yeah. No. It's a good question. Like, because I feel like his character's a sort of a mix between Littlefinger and yeah. Varys. You know,
Laris
he's got a bit of both
Varys,
going on.
Yeah. He's a good character. He's a good character, though, and the way it just goes quite horrific so quickly. I'm like, now it's Game of Thrones. Something awful's happened, unexpectedly.
Mm. Pretty cool, though, wasn't it?
Yeah. Her reaction is also very, very good. No, but she's like, I didn't say that. I didn't.
Oh,
say
I didn't want that to happen.
Mm.
I didn't want that to happen. Oh, what have you done, Laris? What have you done? It's interesting here that Harrenhal. We see more of Harrenhal. And we talked about it being cursed earlier in the season, and of course we know that from Game of Thrones, but you know, ever since Aegon came over and that castle was finished, he burned it to the ground.
Who's coming
pop,
over?
Pop
Aegon.
Oh, fuck. We're fucked. Yeah. And we're conquered. And anyone who's a lord,
it's no longer a lord.
Who's lived in there since,
oh, yeah.
has died a horrible death.
Yeah.
So it's quite interesting. And it's interesting to note that sort of continues up until Game of Thrones, because that is still the sort of fear of anyone who inherits that land or those
bad
castles
land.
There. So it's interesting. And in the book, obviously, they're like, it says, and then later that year in a fire, Harwin and Lionel died at Harrenhal. Some say it was the curse of Harrenhal, and others say it was the sea snake who took offence, and others say it was even, you know, yeah, so there's this sort of little throwaway line of people thinking it could be someone.
Yeah, there's like three suspects, I think. Laris was one of them.
Daemon is one of them, and and the sea snake's the other, I think. And it's interesting to note, like, how the show, and I think this is interesting, because obviously the book's just like, XYZ happens, maybe this person did this. The show is going, hey, all of the worst possible versions of these events that you can imagine, we're going for those, which I really quite enjoy.
Yeah, why not?
It just kind of makes it so much more dramatic, so much more interesting. And yeah, like I like the fact they're interpreting these events in that way. I put in here, he's gone full Littlefinger chaos speech with his sort of narration at the end. Which was quite good, I thought. He was like, oh, you might want to reward me in the future. Might be rewarded, you know. Anyway, I thought it was quite good. I thought Laris' stuff was quite good.
I think he is good.
I'm devastated.
Yeah, he plays it, his expressions and everything. Is that really what she wanted? Like, again, this isn't me saying I want a direct answer. I'm just thinking out loud. Because if you want evidence of... the children being bastards, getting rid of the dad, who's the only real sort of proof of what of the lineage, doesn't seem that smart.
I think it's more of a she wanted the hand of the king gone. And that's why she was annoyed when Viserys didn't accept his resignation. Well, the potential for her dad to come back or someone who's more aligned to her, yeah.
Well, so, she comes out with that childish line, doesn't she? Of, who's on my side?
I want your dick.
He will just be partial to me.
I wanted to punch her in the face.
Now who's a spoilt cunt? You.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, she Jesus.
What?
Two. No, you're right. You're right. You are right.
Totally right. Bang on, Liz.
That's what I mean. She's not likable. Like, the things that she says, they...
It's taken an hour for me to hate her. After five hours of
really,
all right.
Really dislikable. Like, you just don't like anything that she does. So they're going to have to do something, because now Rhaenyra, and my next note and the final note of this podcast, is Rhaenyra and Laenor and their children relocate to Dragonstone. Which is a smart move because, like Laenor says, the storm is coming and it's only a matter of time, especially with what's happened to Lionel and to Harwin. I'm actually, on your note earlier, Lucy, I'm interested to see, and I hope we get it, a reaction of Rhaenyra to the news about Harwin.
Yeah.
Because
I assume
if we
will
don't
have
see
it.
That, I'm going to be raging.
I assume we'll get it. I quite like, I mean, you did talk about it on the hot take. I listened to that, obviously. about their relationship, Rhaenyra and Laenor. And as much as he is a bit of a waste of space in some ways, like, there is like a mutual respect, and they kind of, the fact that she was like, bring him, I quite like that. Like, again, she's...
Why is he a waste of space?
Going out getting drunk because she's just had a baby?
Yeah,
shagging some bloke when she's... No, he's a bit of a waste of space, I think.
I think you're right there. I thought their chemistry was really good. I
it's like a real,
tip.
It's yeah, like a real partnership, and it's obviously yeah. worked for yeah. this long. And I think there is some mutual respect. I don't think he's awful, but I do think, you know, you see him like.
Well, at least this guy can act.
Yes, he's good. He's a real improvement.
Good point.
I just like to see that kind of mutual understanding we saw when they were betrothed is carrying on 10 years later.
Yeah, my favorite scene. So when he's outside and he's, you know, smashing his sword against the other guy's sword, and they're like, yeah, just playing and that, just, you know, best mates, isn't it? Just doing fighting and that.
Just boys things.
Just doing boys stuff. You know, nothing, you know, suspect. And, you know, the queen comes out, the princess comes out, and it's like, yeah, you know, we're off, we're leaving here, to be honest. And he's like, oh, right, okay. Because I was just doing this with this guy. She's like, no. She goes, you know what? Bring him along. Bring your gay mate along.
Yeah.
And he's like, yay.
he looks yeah. so happy.
I quite like
he?
It.
He looks so happy.
I quite like yeah. it.
I think it's cute.
Go on, bring your boyfriend nice. Along. Yeah, it was fucking hilarious. Yeah.
Good that.
Really cracked that was me good. Up. Really cracked me up. Be interesting to see how that develops, you know, potentially in next episode.
It will. It will. and that's it for this episode of The Plot. We're going to move on to feedback quickly. And of course, you can write to us at fancriticalpodcast@gmail.com.
P.O. Box.
fancriticalpodcast@gmail.com. Or P.O. Box us. I'll give you John's address.
80085.
Definitely not.
Send all of your weird effigies to John in the post.
Yeah.
Bizarre. We've gone very long on this podcast. Way over our usual runtime, so I'll be quick here. Douglas has written in to say, have you guys seen The Serpent Queen? The Serpent Queen. You should add it to your roster.
Okay.
I think it's just that's just come out here. And Emma, it sounds like the sort of thing you'd definitely watch.
Yeah, read me the blurb then.
Well, no, read the blurb in your own time.
Just say you're running late. Running long, rather.
We're running late.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll read you the the longest blurb I can find. No, I'm joking.
Do a podcast on that right now.
Yeah.
Just tag it on the end.
Back to back.
Extra special.
Back to back. He says, Douglas says, love your show. Big fan. Sending you good vibes from Chicago.
Aww. That's nice, isn't it?
The Windy City. Mm. Yeah. Illinois. Love that state. So tell you what, guys, just a quick point on Chicago. If you haven't seen a show called The Bear, watch it.
I thought that we were running late, or no?
Sorry, we are.
Had the blurb on that.
Sorry.
Yeah, what's going on here?
Yeah, blurb on The Bear coming up. Thanks, Douglas. Do you remember we had Christopher write in with the title updates, John? And Lucy, I think, yes, was on the podcast as well.
With the blood.
Yeah, with the blood and that.
You're on the ball, weren't you?
Blood and that. He's back with more titled updates. And he says, I'm back with more title updates. There's now new lines of blood from Daemon, Rhaenyra, and the Valyrians in the main title sequence. So they are updating it. Shame it's not more obvious like the map was in Westeros when they updated it.
Nice. Cool. I mean, I fast forward it. But maybe I shouldn't.
Skip it.
Maybe I shouldn't. If it changes.
Genuinely. Yeah.
Well, it
doesn't
matter.
Skip it because
I don't want to hear the music. Titles monitor.
Yeah, it's true. Thank you.
Yeah. Weird, isn't it, how we don't want to hear the Game of Thrones
music. Yeah, it pisses me off.
Because we're quite frustrated at it that they didn't make their own new piece of music. And I've heard them say the reason they kept it was because that people love the music so much. Well, it's worked against us. So you fucked up, didn't you?
Kit Harington just turns up as just a new character. That's Jon Snow. What's he doing in this?
We've had to hire someone to watch the credits for us. They're
I'm from
not
Dawn.
Before, that's right. Before we go, the new series that's coming out probably in a couple of years, which is definitely going to happen, it seems, called Snow, a sequel series to Game of Thrones. Do you think they're going to use the Game of Thrones music?
Probably.
I'm not watching it.
I'm not watching it either, so you'll have to let me know.
Maybe. Maybe they'll have one like that will be like wolves howling the Game of Thrones tune.
Ho, 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 ho.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
That's depressed
that's
Father Santa Christmas. Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, 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 oh. Christmas special.
Well, it's called Snow, so that would make a lot of sense, to be fair.
That's true.
Oh, works perfectly, thank you.
The Christmas Night King.
The Night King before Christmas. Oh, my God. This shit writes itself.
It writes itself, man.
That is good. Yeah, it does. Trying to think of more Christmas.
No, we haven't got time, have we?
Okay,
I'll write in for next week.
We're on the clock. We're
here's
the
blurb on Snow. All right, we've got to go. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Of course, as I said, write into us, fancriticalpodcast@gmail.com. Go to the Patreon, patreon.com/fancritical. Please do share and subscribe to the podcast. I want to thank my fellow podcasters.
Thank you.
Lady Lucy.
No time.
Aaron, thank
See
you very much.
Thanks for naming me. Thanks, Len. Well done.
Thanks, guys.
Emma, Lady Emma, go back to Gareth. He's crying. I hear him in the background.
Sobbing.
Cradle him to sleep. And Bronze John, thank you very much.
Actually, one more question. No, not really.
Can I get the blurb on that, though?
No. All right.
Thanks, Len.
Guys.
Good.
Bye.
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 Bye.